Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I am joined here today by my sister in Christ, Kayla Carter, and I am so excited to be here with her. Kayla, I'll turn things over to you for you to give our audience a brief introduction in case this is their first time meeting you. And we'll take things from there.
All right. Thank you so much for inviting me to do this Fear and Doubt Summit. I'm Kayla. So I am a clinical aromatherapist and certified herbalist. And I just came about that in the way of a lifestyle change. And so to tell a little bit about myself, it started a long time ago. As a kid, I dealt with some traumatic things and they didn't really go away. And I started internalizing them. And I did not know where to turn. I had grown up in the church. I went to youth groups, did all that kind of stuff. But somewhere along the way, a spirit just would not let go of me and came over me. And I didn't know until years later, you know, what those spirits were that were really attacking me. And I didn't know what to do about it. So anyway, as I got older, I started trying to figure out where love truly came from and find myself, but I was trying to find myself in the wrong ways. I started hanging out with the wrong kinds of people and doing partying and drinking and stuff and into my college years. And it just got so bad. I would occasionally find myself in church parking lots because I was having a panic attack, but I felt like I needed to be somewhere near God, but at the same time, I didn't feel like I belonged there anymore because I felt like I just was not the person he was looking for and I wasn't good enough. And I struggled with this throughout my 20s so much. And I just started getting panic attacks a lot and I became suicidal. It just started getting to where I couldn't think straight anymore. I know that I was not thinking for myself anymore. I was seeing doctors, psychologists and stuff, and they kept putting me on medication and different medication had different side effects. So then I would need to be on a different medication. And before I knew it, I was on like 20 different meds and I was not thinking straight anymore. And there was one point where I was actually agoraphobic, which basically means I was scared to leave my house. I lived with my grandparents. I sheltered myself in their basement and I did not go anywhere. I had a life coach that would come in and try to work with me to get me acclimated to go back out into the world again. But I was scared to death to walk outside the door because something might get me or you know how anxiety feels when your heart just starts pumping and you just can't breathe anymore. You almost feel like you're having a heart attack, but it's not a heart attack. I was feeling that anytime I go to the store, anytime I'd be around people, all of that. So anyway, I struggled with this for years and I kept pushing through. I made it through the agoraphobia stuff. Thank God. Somehow he got me through that and sent the right people to help me. But I continued to get worse as I was trying to live in the normal world and put on this brave face and say, I'm doing fine. It obviously showed that I wasn't behind the scenes. So at one point, I was in a lot of facilities. I was put in a lot of mental facilities to try to get myself under control and get medication right and all of this stuff. And I was actually in an inpatient facility for several months, and I ended up leaving against medical advice. And when I left there, I had met a group of friends, and one of them got discharged. So I decided I was going to go with her. And when I left there, my counselor, they tried to get my parents to take guardianship of me, and they wouldn't do it. At this point, they had wiped their hands clean. They're like, we don't know what to do anymore, so we're letting her go. Let her do whatever she wants to do. As I walked out the door, my counselor looked me in the eye, and she goes, you're going to be dead within a year. And that put a whole other spirit on me. It just, I internalized that. But at the same time, I was like, no, I'm not taking that on. But I didn't really know what I was doing yet. Things got from bad to worse there. I kept having issues. And that almost did come true. I had a boyfriend at the time, and we got into a fight. And I went into the bedroom and I took a bottle of cough prescription pills. And he said that I came out of the bedroom and I just, boom, hit the floor. And I wasn't breathing. And he had to call 911. And they came and did CPR. I was on a ventilator for a week. There are 2 weeks of my life that I don't remember and probably never will. And it was a life-changing experience for me. The doctors told my family that if I ever came out of that, that I would not have the brain capacity to continue to live a normal life, and that they needed to find a home to put me in. So they were starting to seek that care. After I came off of the ventilator, I had everything except for those 2 weeks of memories, which I think, quite frankly, the Father's just guarding me from. But anyway, it was after that I went, I have got to take my life back. And I started praying again, and I went, Father, you saved me. And I don't know why, but I'm very grateful for it. And so I spent a week in that hospital, and then I spent a week in a mental hospital. And there they had some of my family members come up and visit me from far away. And I finally was able to hash things out. I finally got things off my chest that had happened to me years ago that I did not tell anybody. And I let that stuff go. And after that, I went back to church and I started praying. I started reading my scriptures and I started seeing them in a whole new light. Like things that I had read before. So just quick, years before this, I actually went to a Bible college to be a missionary. So I had read scripture before, but my eyes were being opened to so much more than I had read before. And it was a miracle. And I went and I got help from the psychiatrist to get off of certain medications. And I'm by no means telling anybody to get off their medication. I'm just sharing my story with you and where I was at. And he agreed that I was on too much. So I did that. And then I had a counselor who was gluten-free. And we started talking about what gluten was doing to her. And I started doing some research and figured out that gluten was actually acting as a poison to my body because it couldn't handle it. So whenever I would eat anything with gluten and wheat, it was keeping any other foods from being able to be nutritious to me. And it was going right to my brain and causing mood and just instabilities. So I got off the gluten. I found a support group to do that with because that was daunting to me at the time. And just started making lifestyle changes from there. And it just, things started piling on and changing. I did different therapy groups where I started learning how to rewire my brain. And that is still stuff that I'm working on to this day. But I have no residual anything from that experience. The only thing that came out of that is a changed life. And I thank the Father every day that I'm still here.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Can we just give God a shout for his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness? As you were talking and sharing your testimony, I was just sitting over here grinning from ear to ear and thanking him, because I can clearly see how his hand was on your life. Like, he made a liar out of I can't remember who said it was, a therapist or a counselor. He made a liar out of that person. He made a liar out of like other people in your life that thought like you wouldn't make it, or like you would have to be committed for the rest of your life. Like, he's just amazing. Like, I'm so in awe in this moment, because he does the impossible. We can sit here and have this conversation because he did what man thought was impossible for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he did. I believe that our words are very powerful. And I see that more now than ever. I'm like, I'm not going to put that on myself. And I'm not going to claim and take what other people are saying about me. Right. And I give all glory to him. He has turned it around, and he's watched this. Yeah. You can say that if you want, but watch this.
I love it. So let's back up for a few minutes, because I was so excited I jumped in. Let's go back and let's talk about your session title. Today we're talking about how to fight the spirit of anxiety through faith and lifestyle changes. How did you come up with that title?
Basically, just following my testimony. That is how I prefer to live my life right now, is conquering the anxieties that try to come on through my faith and my lifestyle. I've made a complete lifestyle turnaround. I like to call it a lifestyle overhaul, because basically every aspect of my life changed. And in doing so, that has given me the keys and the ability to take the steps I need to if anxiety does try to come on.
What do those steps look like for you?
Number one is taking thoughts captive, as the scripture tells us to. So even today, I don't know, sometimes you just wake up in the morning and you have a heaviness about you and you're not even sure why. And I had a feeling that it was just the enemy trying to bring me down and be like, no, you're not going to do this talk today. I don't want you to share it with other people. And so what I do is I take a step back and I go, okay, I take that thought captive and I say, I am not letting this thought rule my life. Father, I give you this thought. I give you any thoughts of fear, or I give you any thoughts of anxiety that are coming on me right now. I bind up that anxiety in Jesus, or I call him Yeshua in his name. And I do not give you authority over me whatsoever. And then I just give it to God. And then I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a weight lifts off of me. And he's given me other tools too. I've learned different essential oils that I can smell. The sense of smell is so powerful. It hits your limbic system, which also controls your nervous system. And if you can get your nervous system under control, you can get everything else under control. So I do that through reading scripture. I'll just pull my Bible out and start reading certain things, or I'll ask the Father, please show me what to read, what to do here. And then I do the same thing with the oils. I'm like, help me if there's a certain smell here that'll help. So like bergamot is an oil of release. So if I feel like for whatever reason, I have a bunch of feelings hitting me, maybe pent up feelings, something I haven't let go of, I'll smell bergamot just to help with that release. But I do it with prayer and with scriptures, because I don't want it ever to go back. I'm not doing this on my own. I'm doing it through God. And that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you keep him at the center of it all, because some people would try to make you believe that it was the oil, basically.
Right.
They try to infer, oh, this oil is magical and it can help you with this. And I love that you don't take that approach. You say, these are things that the Lord has given me, and they're tools that I've worked in my life. But in no, by no means am I saying this thing is like helping me get free of anxiety, or this is relieving this fear. I'm saying that God has given me this as a tool that I can use along with His word to help regulate my nervous system. And I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a package deal to me. It's not, hey, I'm relying on this and that. And if it ever becomes that, then I have to step back and check myself. Like, it's not. But I do believe he gives us tools. Everything he made was made for good. Everything's in scripture. And he made, they talk about oils and herbs in the scripture, more herbs. Essential oils came a little bit later, but there are like infused oils in scripture, and they were even used on Jesus. And
Yeah.
so if there's something that were made for good for him, they're made for good for his people too. It just all comes down to not making anything else basically an idol. But so that's where, I use these as tools. And but it goes back to, so one thing I learned years ago that I implemented, and then I still do to a point, it's changed throughout the years, is a sensory kit or a sensory bag. And in that sensory bag, you carry around with you different things. So the five senses. So something that'll bring you back. It's to help you ground yourself. So something, taste, sight, smell, hearing. And so I put different things in my bags, and like I said, it's changed throughout the years. So now more like the hearing or the sight is me reading scripture, or I'll put scripture on my phone, or I'll listen to an uplifting worship music, and that will help ground me. So if I'm going through something and I feel an anxiety attack coming on, I will pull out my bag and I will grab something out of there. And sometimes it's as much as you just need to get grounded, and it takes those times of counting. And for me, it's prayer. So I'll grab, like, sometimes even just holding my Bible and then being like, Father, please help me through this, or I take this anxiety attack away, I rebuke this. But holding something physical in your hand, and just taking a moment to say, okay, I'm feeling the cover of my Bible. It feels warm. It feels cold. It feels rough. It feels soft. Doing those things and saying those things to yourself or out loud even helps ground you, and it'll help bring you back. And I'm talking like if you're hitting that panicky stage where your chest feels so tight and you can't breathe and things are starting to spin. Because sometimes when we get to that point, we have to do something to help bring us back. So I'll do that. I'll start doing the things, or take your shoes off and your socks off and put your feet on the ground and do the same thing. The ground feels whatever. The grass feels whatever. Put your hands in the air feels. I'm outside. The sky feels cool to the touch. And then with that, I incorporate, thank you, Father, that I can feel this. Thank you, Father, that you've brought me to this point. Please take this feeling of anxiety away from me. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Take this away from me. So that's how the sensory bag has morphed for me throughout the years. It started out when I first learned about it being more about the things in the bag. And now it's more about using the things, but in his name and with him as my strength.
I love that you share that because one of my past therapists taught me that as well, but not from a biblical perspective. So she taught me the idea of grounding yourself through your senses. But I love that you take it a step further. And of course, as we've been talking about this entire interview, you just keep God at the center of it all. You incorporate Him into everything. Yeah, it's a nice shift on something that in essence is worldly, right? But I feel like when we realize and humble ourselves, right? And say, hey, God, like, I can't do this on my own. Or, hey, God, like, this exercise is cute, but it's not really working. Can you take this anxiety from me? It just takes on a whole new, I feel like it just takes on a whole new life, right? Like it's freeing.
It is. It is. Because when we're taking it off of us and we're not sitting there saying, I did this, I got myself back down to this point, or I'm doing this, we need to take I out of it and put him in it. Because ultimately, we're his children and he is in control if we let him be in control. But if we keep taking back the reins, and he can't be in control, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. And he'll sit back and he'll go, okay, daughter, I'm right here. I've got the safety net over here, but I'm going to let you walk this high wire for a little bit because that's the direction you're wanting to go. But know that when you fall, I'm right here. I'd rather not have to take that fall if I can help it, but I'm human and we all have to sometimes.
Yeah, I love that you honed in on that as well. Because I used to have this idea that just because I was saved, I sh meant that I shouldn't experience things like anxiety or fear. And I used to believe that just because I was saved, like things would be good. And he would always just prevent me from experiencing any like errors or like disappointments that come from just me being me. But I love that you share that reminder because God is a loving father. And because of that, we have free will. And so we have to remember that human element. So thank you for that. Thank you for reminding us.
Yeah, I like to say, so somebody shared this with me a couple of years ago, and it really stuck with me, so I say it too, but I like to liken myself that I'm just a spiritual being having a human experience. It just hits everything. I'm like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's circle back to the lifestyle changes. I know you started incorporating things like herbs and essential oils. I believe you started making some dietary shifts or changes as well, because you mentioned at the top of the interview moving away from gluten. Was there anything else that you found helpful or that the Holy Spirit revealed to you could help you on your journey?
So those were the main things, using herbs and essential oils, and then the dietary changes. I also discovered a couple years ago that dairy was giving me headaches and making me fatigued, and I got off of that for a little while. Now, I will share with you that I've been off of gluten for 13 years and dairy for 2 years, and I've learned a lot more in the last couple years about the limbic system, which I touched on a little bit earlier. But I'm also learning that when you can get that nervous system under control, that you can actually get healed. The Father can heal you from those things. So that's the experience I'm going through right now. I've actually been able to eat gluten and dairy again if I don't overdo it. I just give it to him. I just pray and say, Father, I know that you've made me whole and you've made food whole and you've made food for us. I believe that you're going to handle this. But that's a whole other subject in itself, because it has to go back to rewiring your brain and your limbic system and getting all of that under control. But I've discovered that if you can rewire that brain and take thoughts captive, like triggering things. So maybe something happened 20 years ago. And so if I go to my hometown and I walk by a place where there's a memory, I'll take that and it'll hit me. We all have triggers. And if that something triggers me, I take that thought captive and I go, thank you, Father. Thank you for that memory. I thank you that it's there. I thank you that it had a purpose and a reason in my life. I think that it no longer has a purpose and a reason, and it's not going to rule over me. And I give that to you. And I've found that doing that it has been able to help my nervous system and in turn help my gut. There's such a huge gut-brain connection. And when we can get that figured out, we can be made whole and he can help us through that. So it's just a learning experience for me all around. But basically, those things and then the mindset changes are the main things that have changed.
Kayla, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's been so insightful. as you were talking, the main thing that comes up for me is the scripture that says, my people perish from lack of knowledge. And I just feel like this is an area of knowledge that he shared with you, that you can share with others for his glory. So I thank you for being here today. I thank you for sharing your wisdom, your testimony, and your experiences with us, so that someone else who might be listening to today's conversation doesn't have to experience anxiety or experience fear and just stay stuck and think that there's no way out, or think that they are bad because they're experiencing this as a Christian. So thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. And yeah, that is what I'm wanting to do. I want to be used by him. And I believe I'm still alive for that reason. I can help, if my story can help anybody else through things that they may be going through, then all glory to God. And I'm very grateful for that. One verse I wanted to share is James 4:7 says, "So then subject yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." So if we are subjecting ourselves to him in all ways, the devil has to flee from us. And it's just such an awesome promise that he gives us. And I just want people to know that if you are going through some major things and you feel like your life can't change, I'm a living testimony that it can, and that he is there for you, and that he does not give up on anybody, or he would have given up on me a long time ago. So just hang in there and know that there is hope and that it does get better.
Yeah, we have to remind anyone who experiences things like fear, doubt, shame, anxiety, that there is hope, there is freedom, and we have both of those things because of God. So thank you for sharing. How can our listeners stay in contact with you?
I have a YouTube channel called Kayla's Natural Inspirations, where I share different videos and about tidbits of stuff like this. And I also have a website, same name, Kayla's Natural Inspirations. And on my freebie that you can download, I actually go over different essential oils that can help with mood and anxiety, and then correlate it to a Bible verse. And then I made a blend out of that of essential oils that you can do, and that's in the marketplace as well. And that's got my website on it too. Yeah. And I'm on Facebook too, as Kayla Carter.
Awesome. Do you have anything in the marketplace that you want to share with the listeners?
Yes. So the roller bottle, I have a roller bottle made with the top six oils that I talk about in my freebie that I formulated for this event specifically. I'm excited about that. And it's just got six different essential oils in there that it can help with mood and support.
Awesome. Kayla, thank you again for your time. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Any final words for the listeners?
Just thank you for joining us, and I hope that you are getting something out of this and the other speakers as well. And I'm just excited to be able to share my story with you. And just know I'm here. You can find me on Facebook, or I've got chat options in on my website or YouTube too. And if anybody just needs somebody to talk to and maybe going through certain things, just reach out to me. I'll listen.